Wow. It's good to be blessed with such talent here in both of you. It's beautiful, Lisa. Is he the King of the Jews? Is he the King of you? That's a message series that we begun on Good Friday. And on Good Friday, we looked at his death. The first two messages deal with, is he the King of the Jews? Well, we looked at his death. And it looked like from his death, a resounding answer. There were answers from Pilate. He had his view and the soldiers had their view and the Jewish leaders had their view. Is he the King of the Jews? But as you look at that text, the resounding answer from the Father, from God, was that placard that was placed by Pontius Pilate on the cross for everybody to see in three different languages. Pilate had it affixed there, and as Jesus died on that cross, anybody and everybody who looked, anybody who read it in their language, it said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Well, this morning, we want to look at his resurrection. Is he the King of the Jews? Let's look at his resurrection this morning. Well, what do we mean, first of all, by the King of the Jews? What do you mean? What is that? Is he the King of the Jews? Well, we're talking about the Messianic King. We're talking about the King that had been prophesied about through Holy Scripture for years and years and years. This long-awaited Messiah that would come. From Scripture's prophesied, like in Isaiah 9, chapter 6, where it was prophesied, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the question is this the one? Is this our Wonderful Counselor? Is this Mighty God in the flesh? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is Jesus all he claimed to be? Is he who Scripture claims that he is? Fully God and fully man at the same time. Is he that? Is he the King of the Jews? Well, let's look at it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Let's look at this resurrection account found in Luke chapter 24. And if you're new at this, your New Testament is about the last third of your Bible. That last third. You just turn there and you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. You want to be in Luke. Excuse me, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one beside you in one of the chairs. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, chapter 24. Let's look at verses 36 to 39. In Luke 24. Let's pray, though. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship. Lord, we thank you for each person that you have called, that you have led us in worship through this choir, Lord, through each of the readers, through the singers. Lord, we thank you that you've drawn us into your presence. And Lord, now let us hear from your word. Lord, speak to us. Lord, get me out of the way. Let us hear from you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may we be receptive and hear your word and leave this place doing it. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. God tells us in Luke 24, 36 through 49, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Let me set the stage a little bit. Jesus has just been raised from the dead. The women have come to the tomb that morning, found it empty. he's gone. An angel appeared to the women. They went and they told the disciples. The disciples didn't believe. Peter ran out to go and see about this and ran to the tomb. And then later on, two of the followers of Christ were walking down a road, a 7-mile trek to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And they were on that route. And Jesus himself came and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he talked to them along that road. And they believed. Later on, they realized this is him. This is the resurrected Christ. He's with us. And they went to tell the others. And here they are. Now they're in this room. And the door is locked for fear of the Jews. And so they're in this room. And that's where we pick up in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Is he the King of the Jews? Well, let's look at it. Well, rising from the dead. Let's consider that. Rising from the dead. Well, we see that in verses 36 through 43. He shows them his hands and his feet. He tries to get them to realize and to understand that this is the same Jesus. This is his body, that he's been resurrected, that they're not seeing a ghost and his body somewhere and this is his spirit. No, he's helping them to understand, "Touch me. Give me some of that fish. Watch me eat it." You see that this is a body. I have risen from the dead. And so he gets them to understand it. And we see his resurrection back up a little bit in the beginning of the chapter. Verses 1 through 8, listen to this. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words." Is he the King of the Jews? Well, rising from the dead. He walked with those two men along that road to Emmaus. He appeared to them. He shared with them everything that was fulfilled in the scriptures. He took them back to the beginning and he said, "Didn't you know that the Christ had to suffer these things?" And he just went through scripture after scripture with these men as they walked along the road. See how he fulfilled this? The Christ had to do this. He had to do this. He had to do this. And the men's hearts, it says later, as they got back to where they were going in And Jesus lifted up the bread as they were about to eat together, and he gave thanks and he broke it. It says that their eyes were open, and then they saw it. I realized it was him. And then when they realized it, they thought, weren't our hearts burning within us when we were walking on that road with him and he was sharing all these scriptures about himself? Our hearts were just burning within us. It's him rising from the dead. And so Jesus appears to the disciples here. We know that the doors were locked from John 20, verse 19. And somehow Jesus is just among them. He's just with them. And so we know somehow this resurrection body that you can touch and feel, somehow it's a body of a different order, because he can just go through a locked door and just come in a place and just be there right with the disciples. And even as he does that, they doubted. They still didn't believe it. And so he says, touch me and see, this is my body. You're not looking at a ghost. But they were doubting. It says that they doubted and they still didn't believe it for joy and amazement. To me, maybe that's just shock. They were in shock. And so they doubted. He ate the broiled fish right in front of them. And there's a couple other things we notice from his resurrection right here. Let me ask you a question. Do you need peace today? Do you need peace in your life? Is that you? Maybe you didn't come here seeking it, but when the question's asked, you say, yes, yeah, that would be nice. Yes, I need some peace in my life. Well, we see here that this was a common greeting back then in verse 36. We noticed that when Jesus appeared among them, he said, peace be with you. It was a common greeting. I grew up Catholic. You know, they still use it in the Catholic Church. Everybody shakes hands and says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So this was a common greeting. But after Jesus had been raised from the dead, after the resurrection, if you didn't believe it up until this point, I think you would finally believe that it wasn't just a greeting with him, but that he could deliver on this. If he's raised from the dead, then he has the power to not only say, peace be with you, but deliver on it and give it to you. He could speak it to the wind and the waves. There could be a furious storm out on the sea, which happened with him. And when his disciples woke him up, he was at peace. They were freaking out and thinking they were about to drown. They had to wake him up. But when they woke him up, they said, Lord, we're going to drown. Look at this. And what did he do with his power? He stood up and he said, peace, be still. And whoosh, every wave just quit. The boat was probably just still rocking a little bit. There was no more storm, no more danger. He could do that with the weather. He can do that with you. He can do that with whatever you're going through in your life. He has the power to deliver peace, and he wants to give you peace. We also notice from his resurrection here that he eliminates doubt. Jesus doesn't want you to doubt, and he's trying to get rid of your doubt. He eliminates doubt. He tries to get rid of it. Notice how they're doubting. What is he doing? He's saying, here, touch me. Do you have any fish over there? Let me see the fish. He's working on them. He's trying to help them through this doubt. Do you doubt? Maybe you doubt this. Maybe you doubt some of these things. Maybe you doubt something about God. He wants to help you through it. He wants to eliminate your doubt. And maybe you just say, well, you know, if I would believe if he would just show me more, if, you know, I'm somebody that needs to see. If I could see it, if he'll show it to me, then I'll believe it. Maybe that's you. But you know, the truth is he's given you all you need already. Jesus told a story of a man named Lazarus. This poor man that used to beg at this rich man's gate. And Jesus told this story and they both died. And the rich man was in hell and the poor man was in heaven. And the rich man was in agony and torment. And he called, he could see Father Abraham in heaven. And he called and he said, "Would you please send Lazarus, the poor beggar, would you please send him to just bring some water, something for my tongue, just to cool my tongue a little bit. I'm burning in this fire." And the answer was, "Well, there's a great chasm between us. Nobody can come from here to there. Nobody can come from there to here." And then the rich man said, well, then would you please get word to my brothers? I have 5 brothers back home. Would you please tell them about this place? Would you please warn them about this place?" And the answer given to him was, and he said, "If somebody comes back from the dead and goes and tells them, they'll believe my brothers." But the answer given was, "They have Moses, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets." That's the Bible back then. That's the scripture. That's God's word. The answer was basically, they have the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets. If they do not believe from Moses and the prophets, then they will not believe if somebody comes back from the dead and tells them about this place. You see, it doesn't matter how miraculous the signs are or whatever. God's already given you everything you need to believe in Him. Maybe you haven't spent enough time in it. Maybe you haven't read it yet. Maybe you haven't read it for yourself. But He's already given you enough to believe. And God says, if you don't believe because of this, then you're not going to believe no matter what kind of sign happens. You know, it's also a matter of trust to not doubt, to believe. And it's a matter of the heart. God's given you enough for you to believe. You might be requesting more, but He's given you enough. It's a matter of the heart. It could be a heart issue. You may need to check your heart. It might be that you're afraid that if you come to Him, you'll have an authority over you. You'll have a God over you and then you'll have to obey. You'll need to submit. And maybe you're wanting to be in control of your own life. It's a trust issue too. Years ago, I used to work at a certain place and Allison would make me a lunch each day. And the thought occurred to me one day, what if I had that lunch from Allison? And sometimes I'd be rushing out the door and I'd say, "What's in my lunchbox?" And she'd say, "A ham sandwich and some bugle chips and some apples." And I don't know what she'd say, but, and I'd walk out the door. What would happen if I said, "What's in my lunchbox?" And she said, some bugle chips and a ham sandwich and some apples. And I walked out and as soon as I got out the door, I said, "I don't know if that's true." And I opened it up and I started looking in there. What if she happened to look out the window as I was doing that? What do you think would happen? I think she'd probably come out and say, "Why are you checking that? Didn't I just tell you what was in there? Why are you checking it?" "Well, I just didn't know if I could trust you." Well, you know, that's how it is with God too. God's given you enough. He's revealing Himself to you. He's trying to draw you to Himself. And sometimes it's a heart issue. Sometimes it's just trust. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Do you take Him at His word? Is He the King of the Jews? Well, rising from the dead? Well, also, what about fulfilling Scripture? There's another thing to consider. Fulfilling Scripture. We see that in verses 44 through 47. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Everything must be fulfilled that's been written about me, that's been prophesied, Jesus is saying. All these prophecies about the Messiah that is coming. In the whole Hebrew Old Testament, these 3 different parts of the Hebrew Old Testament, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, all of these prophecies, They point to this coming Messiah, and they all had to be fulfilled. And as you know, earlier that day, he went through all those. He went through a play-by-play with those two men he was walking with along the road, and he just went ahead and told them, see how this had to be fulfilled, and this, and this, and this. He took them through. It was prophesied that this Messiah, this coming one, would suffer. We see that in Psalm 22, in Isaiah 53. Jesus said that he would suffer, and then that he would rise the third day. We see that prophesied in Psalm 16, 9 through 11, Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. And you know, you would think that if you just took somebody to these passages of Scripture written so long before Christ ever came, especially Psalm 22, you would think that you could take a Jewish person who has not yet received Jesus as Messiah. I was in the French Quarter doing some ministry when I was in seminary, and I was on Bourbon Street. Yes, I was doing ministry. And it was me and a few other guys. I was doing some ministry out of Vucaray Baptist Church. It's right there in the French Quarter. And we were giving out some different things. And I got to talking to this guy that was there on Bourbon Street. And he was Jewish. And I said, hey, I said, have you ever checked out Psalm 22? Part of their scriptures. And anyway, we started talking about Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, all you have to do is read it. It is a clear depiction of a crucifixion. That this suffering Messiah, it talks about piercing. Just read it. It's like a crucifixion in that form of punishment, and it hadn't even been invented yet. And it's prophesied. And we were talking about that. And I can't remember his excuse, but he just said, oh no, you know, that's not it. That wasn't. But see, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Do you trust God? Do you take Him at His word? You know, they did a study. A mathematician did a study and tried to find out, well, what are the chances that if a new baby was to be born and somebody were to predict 8 things about that new baby? Maybe the eye color will be this, and the hair color this, and the baby will be this tall when he's this age, or whatever. 8 things. And if 8 things were predicted about this baby, you know what the chances are that you would get 8 things right about that baby, that all 8 would be fulfilled? The chances of that happening are 1 times 10 to the... I can't remember how many zeros it is after it, but to give you a visual, if you covered the state of, if you had a coin and you put an X on it, and then you covered the state of Texas in coins, and I've also forgotten how deep, it's a certain depth too, and then you said, I'm going to try to pick out that coin with the X on it. And then you reached over and you picked one, and that was the one with the X on it. That's the chances that you would get 8 predictions right about that. Do you know how many hundreds of predictions that were prophesied about this Messiah that Jesus fulfilled? Fulfilling Scripture. Well, what about opening minds and sending power? Opening minds and then sending power and people with the message. We see that in verses 45 through 49. He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. And on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And so Jesus also opens minds. He can open minds to understand His Word. You know, Scripture tells us before you believe, Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they cannot see the truth. They cannot perceive the truth. But Jesus opens minds. He opens minds to the Scriptures. Helps you to understand. It's just like a foreign language. I took a mission trip to Venezuela one time, and I had to have an interpreter with me everywhere. And I remember preaching in this church, and everything I said, I'd have to say a couple of lines, and the interpreter would say those lines in Spanish. And I'd have to say a few more, and the interpreter would say that. But with a foreign language, there has to be an interpreter. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is this interpreter. For any person, God has to open your understanding for you to be able to understand the Scripture. And then the Holy Spirit, if you become a believer, if you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus, God says the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, and then He becomes your interpreter. And then when you begin to hear God's truth, it makes sense. And then when you read His Word, it makes sense. And you begin to hear God's voice, and you begin to hear what He's saying to you in a new way. And then you can sing that line in the song with the writer. I was blind, but now I see. And that's what's happened. God's opened your understanding. As you believe, He will do that. He opens your understanding. And then He sends power. Jesus said, wait until you have received this power. And He says, you're going to be my witnesses. He doesn't want any of us to witness without His power. That's a necessity. In Acts chapter 2, He sends that promise. He sends the Holy Spirit to them. And they have that power that He has sent. And now we, as believers, are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, with that power. We know as a believer, He comes to indwell us, and we're to be filled with His Spirit. We're to keep in step with the Spirit. We're to walk by the Spirit. We're to live by the Spirit. That's what the whole Christian life is, to keep in step with the Spirit. Follow Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. But that's His power that He has sent. And so He does that as well. Is He the King of the Jews? Well, I don't know. You give your answer. What do you think? Rising from the dead? Fulfilling Scripture? Opening minds? Sending power? And then He also sends people with the message. He says, you will be my witnesses of these things. And in Acts 1:8, He says to them, and you will be my witnesses. You'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Is He the King of the Jews? Let's pray about it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what You have done. Lord, we thank You for Your power. We thank You for conquering death. In the grave, we thank You for Your power displayed as You rose from the dead, as You fulfilled those prophecies. And Lord, would You help each one of us here today, Lord, who need peace, to say, Lord, I believe that You are raised from the dead, that You came in bodily form. And Lord, I know that's a lot of power, so I believe You can give me peace today. Lord Jesus, I ask You for peace. Your peace. And Father, maybe there are some that need eliminating of doubt. Maybe they doubt the resurrection. Maybe they just doubt Your promises. Lord, help them to know that You eliminate doubt, that you're the one that goes to them and says, look, touch me. And Lord, also that You've provided this gift of Your Scripture. That, Lord, if we will get into it, we thank You for this gift that by hearing the Word, You say that You give us more and more faith and that is enough to conquer doubt, Lord. Thank you for the gift of your word. May we spend time in it. Lord, I pray that you would open minds today, Lord. Open hearts to you. Lord, we thank you for your power that you have sent. Lord, for anybody who has become a believer, that you indwell them, that your spirit lives in them, and that they cannot witness on their own. They cannot live for you on their own. They cannot live the Christian life. But that now your Holy Spirit lives in them, and that you have empowered them, and you've given them the Spirit to live by. Lord, help us to live by that Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you've sent people, anybody that comes to you, that you've sent us, that if anybody is a believer here today, Lord, that they are sent. You have sent them with your message and your power, Lord, to share it with others. Help us in doing that as well. And Lord, if there is somebody here today who needs to receive that message, oh Lord, help them. Help them right now to admit to you, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross, that you took my punishment, and that you're raised from the dead. And I call on you right now, Lord, like never before. I give you my life. I call on you. I ask you to save me from my sins. Come into my life. I want to follow you. And Lord, maybe there's others that know they've received that power. They have your Spirit. They've been sent by you. But Lord, they don't have a church home. They're not connected anywhere, Lord, to do your will, to minister through this power. Lord, if you're calling them to this place, help them to stand as this hymn is sung, and help them to walk down this aisle and join this church. Whatever decision needs to be made in each of our lives, Lord, speak it to us and help us to obey you. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. As Chris leads us, if there's a decision you need to make, if you've just received his message this morning, or some other decision that you want to share, you come as Chris leads us. You can share that with me.